Tonight we continue to study the new covenant, and our text is the same as it was last week, Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 23. I invite you to stand for the reading of God's holy word. Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who is going to do this. Let's pray together. Father God Almighty, as we continue to learn of your gracious covenant with us, I pray that you would help us to understand the beauty of the Lord's Supper that you have given us. Help us to fully understand this sacrament, this sign, that we might fully appreciate it and be strengthened by it. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, in this passage, we see Jesus celebrating the Passover with his 12 disciples. And we see him use two of the elements of the Passover meal, bread and a cup, to establish the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Some of you may have had the opportunity to be part of a Jews for Jesus presentation of the Passover meal. It's a great learning experience because they show at what point in the Passover meal Jesus established the Lord's Supper. If you ever have the opportunity to be part of that presentation, I would encourage you to do so. Maybe we'll do it here again sometime on a Sunday evening. The fact that you have the Passover becoming the Lord's Supper is a wonderful example that the Bible is one book and there is one unfolding covenant of grace throughout the Old and the New Testaments. Tonight we're going to dig into the connection between the Passover and the Lord's Supper and see what we learn from that connection. Doing so will help us better appreciate the covenant of grace as well as our enjoyment of the covenant and our response to the covenant. During our study this evening, we're going to take note of the similarities and differences between the Passover and the Lord's Supper. And we're going to do so by asking and answering the following two questions. What was the Passover meal? And second, what is the Lord's Supper? And you can see on the screen that we're going to answer these two questions using two columns so we can see the similarities and the difference. Our answers will mainly come from two passages, the passage we just read from Luke chapter 22 and a passage in Exodus chapter 13, verses 3 through 10. We'll also look a bit at Exodus chapter 12. For one answer, let's start to read the Exodus passage, which is about the Passover. Quote, Then Moses said to the people, Remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of slavery, for by a strong hand the Lord brought you out from this place. And let's just pause there. Notice that Moses is talking about remembering how the Lord rescued them from slavery. They were to remember that they were slaves to Egypt's, Egypt, slaves to an evil ruler, and they were to remember that God graciously, entirely by his hand, rescued them. He saved them. And they were to partake of the Passover meal to constantly remember this gracious salvation. So we're going to put on our chart that the Passover was a remembrance. Now, with that noted, I think we're one more ahead on the slides. Does it show the chart after that? It's a remembrance. Now, with that noted, I ask you, what is the Lord's Supper? I'm sure you know the answer. It's clearly in our Luke passage. The Lord's Supper is also a remembrance. We hear Jesus say, "Do this in remembrance of me." So we can add that to our chart. Both meals are for remembering. They are similar in that ways. The Jews remembered their salvation from slavery to Egypt. We remember our salvation from slavery to sin, slavery to the evil one. Both salvations are God's gracious work. Now, concerning the Passover, the next answer we can add to our chart is that it was a sign. Listen to Exodus 13 again, starting with verse 6. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen with you, and no leaven shall be seen with you in all your territory. You shall tell your son on that day, "It is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth." We are clearly told the Passover was a sign. This is an important concept. For God gave other signs of the covenant of grace as well. For instance, you might remember that God gave the sign of the rainbow in his administration of the covenant of grace to Noah. In Genesis chapter 9, verse 13, we hear God say, "I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." That is a sign we still see today. There have been some beautiful ones lately. Delray and I saw a double rainbow not too long ago. Circumcision was also a sign. God gave signs of the covenant, and the Passover was a sign. Now, there are two important ways signs served people in the Old Testament. One, they helped people remember God's covenant promise. Think about the rainbow. It reminds the whole world of God's promise that he will never again flood the world with water. And with that reminder, there is, of course, a reminder that the flood happened and that Noah and his family were saved on the ark. And it is not by chance that rainbows come after a rain shower. Signs symbolically remind us of God's covenant promise. The Passover meal reminded the Jewish people of God's promise that he would be their God and they would be his people. It reminded them of the promise of people, place, presence. And second, signs teach us of Christ. Do you remember what we learned about the bow in the sky? The word bow is the word used for the weapon of a bow. The bow used with an arrow, and the bow is pointed upward, not downward. It teaches that God would take all the responsibility for the covenant. He would give his life for the covenant promise. The rainbow did not teach us a lot about Christ, but it did start to open our minds to Christ and his work on our behalf. In the Bible, we are seeing the unfolding revelation of the covenant of grace. We started with a little knowledge. We've been gaining more and more knowledge as we've been moving through the Bible. And now consider with me the ways the Passover teaches us of Christ. The Passover is rich with lessons of Christ. I'll explain three details. Detail number one comes from Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, which says, "Your lamb Your lamb that was used for the Passover meal, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male a year old. Now there are actually two details in this verse because the lamb had to be a male. But what I'm drawing our attention to is that the lamb had to be without blemish. Why is that? Why did the lamb have to be without blemish? Answer, because our Lord Jesus would be without blemish, without sin. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was without blemish. The sign of the Passover pointed to that detail. And a second detail comes from Exodus chapter 12, verse 7, which says, "Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it." They were called to make three marks of blood, one mark on each doorpost and one mark on the lintel. Why did God give that command? Why wasn't it enough for them to simply sacrifice the lamb and see that shed blood? Why put the lamb in those, the blood of the lamb in those specific places? When you look at that, what do you see? I think most of us, if not all of us, can easily see the cross. In the Passover meal, we see the blood of a lamb with a vague image of a cross. We see that covering the people, saving their firstborn from death. That's richly connected to Christ. And detail number three about the Passover is especially interesting. It comes from Exodus chapter 12, verse 26. The Israelites were told concerning the lamb, "You shall not break any of its bones. Do not break any of its bones." I ask you, why that command? It is a strange command since you're going to sacrifice the lamb. Well, there is a prophecy our Lord fulfilled. The prophecy is in Psalm 34, which says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken." And we are told in the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. John chapter 19, starting with verse 31, we read, "Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken." So throughout all the years, from Moses to Christ, the sign of the Passover meal was teaching this detail about Christ as well. None of his bones would be broken. That's an extraordinary detail. Signs helped the people remember what God did to save them. And signs pointed to Christ. The Passover meal prepared people to understand how they would ultimately be saved from their sins. Now, since that is what signs do, today we call the Lord's Supper a sign. Listen to what we're told in the Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 66. What are sacraments? Answer, sacraments are holy signs and seals for us to see. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and might put his seal on that promise. And this is God's gospel promise, to forgive our sins and give us eternal life by grace alone because of Christ's one sacrifice finished on the cross. We call the sacraments signs because they operate just like the signs of the covenant in the Old Testament. They help us remember what Christ has done, and they help us see and understand more clearly the promise of the gospel. The Lord's Supper points us to Christ. The breaking of the bread reminds us that his body was broken for us. The cup reminds us that his blood was shed for us. And by partaking of those elements, we are reminded that we are united to him. We are united to his death, and we are united to his resurrection. And there is another way the sign of the Lord's Supper points us to Christ as well. Listen again to the words of Jesus in our passage. He says, "For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Both the Passover and the Lord's Supper point ultimately to the day when Christ returns and we eat again with him. That is a marvelous way the Lord's Supper points us to Christ, to what he's going to do for us, to the life we have with him, the relationship we have with him. Listen to what Revelation chapter 19 says. Revelation chapter 19, by the way, is the chapter I read from this morning. It is the great hallelujah passage in the book of Revelation and in the New Testament. Starting in verse 6, we read, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, 'Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints.' And the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb.'" We will again eat with Christ the Lamb. The Passover meal and the Lord's Supper will find their ultimate completion and the marriage supper of the Lamb. Again, take note that the Bible is one book. In it, there is one unfolding covenant of redemption, covenant of grace. The old covenant of grace had the sign of the Passover meal. The new covenant has the sign of the Lord's Supper. They are similar in that way. That's another answer on our chart. A third answer is that both are observed on a regular basis. Now listen to our Exodus passage. It says, "And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this statute at its appointed time from year to year." They're commanded to observe the Passover every year. That yearly practice was needed because we easily start to lose appreciation for what God has done for us. If we are all honest with ourselves, we will admit that truth. We lose gratefulness for our gracious salvation. So they were commanded to observe the Passover year after year. And we have been commanded to observe the Lord's Supper regularly as well. Verse 19 of our passage says, "And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" No specific number of times are stipulated. The command simply means, do this ongoingly. That's what the language means here, the tense. Do this ongoingly. This command is for our benefit. The sign of the covenant strengthens us to keep the covenant. It strengthens our gratefulness, our knowledge of what God has done for us. It strengthens us to endure and live for Him. And that is what I'm going to put next on our charts. The sign strengthens us to keep covenant. That is true for both the old and the new. Listen again to our Exodus passage, verse 9. And it shall be to you as a sign on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. Now the first part of this verse means it was a sign for them to remember. When the Jewish people wanted to remember something, it was put on their hand and put on their forehead between their eyes. Later, the Jewish people would actually tie a box there. So the first part means the sign was to help them remember. And notice the reason given. That the law of the Lord may be in your mouth. The sign was given so that their gratitude for God might increase, and hence their joyful, willing obedience to the law of God. When you know God has your best interests in mind, when you know God intends for you to have joy and life, and has graciously redeemed you and saved you unto that end, you don't see His law as a whip, as a chain. You see it as wisdom and life and an excellent way to live. You gladly speak of the law of God. It comes from your mouth because it comes from your heart. You're grateful to your God. And that's the purpose of communion as well. Listen again to the Catechism. This is question and answer 76. What does it mean to eat the crucified body of Christ and to drink His poured out blood? Answer, it means to accept with a believing heart the entire suffering and death of Christ, and by believing to receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But it means more. Through the Holy Spirit who lives both in Christ and in us, we are united more and more to Christ's blessed body. And so although He is in heaven and we are on earth, we are flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone, and we forever live on and are governed by one Spirit as members of our body, are by one soul. The sign of the Lord's Supper strengthens us spiritually. When you eat of it rightly, it moves you to live for Christ. We are governed by His Spirit. We walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. When you remember that Christ shed His blood for you while you were a sinner, how can you not be moved to offer your life for Him? The sign strengthens us to keep covenant. Both signs are similar in that way. Now, there's one major way they are different. The Passover involved the real blood of a lamb. Every year, another lamb had to be sacrificed. Again and again, blood had to be shed, real blood. And in comparison, the Lord's Supper does not involve blood. Jesus used the cup of wine from the Passover to signify His blood. And He took the bread from the Passover to signify His body. Bread and wine are now used, not body and blood. That is the case because Christ shed His blood once for all. We learned last week that the new covenant is new because it is fulfilled. It is better than the old because Christ has accomplished the covenant of works on our behalf. It's finished. Christ has taken death on our behalf. Christ has lived righteously on our behalf, fulfilling the law perfectly in our behalf. No longer does blood have to be shed. Every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we should think about that. the cup is full of wine because the blood of Jesus has been shed once for all. It's over. It's finished. That's the very significant way these two signs are different from one another. We are not living on credit yet to be paid. Our debt of sin has been paid in full. Now, there's one more similarity I want to add to our chart. Namely, eating the Passover meal was not a means of salvation. And likewise, eating the Lord's Supper is not a means of salvation. To emphasize this, I ask you to think about our passage from Luke. On the night before the crucifixion, both signs were observed. The Passover meal is why Jesus was gathered with his disciples. They were partaking of that sign, the Passover meal, the sign of the old covenant. And Jesus took the elements of the Passover meal and established the Lord's Supper, the sign of the new covenant. So the disciples were actually partaking of both signs. And there was one who was with them who ate of both signs, who was not saved, namely Judas. Judas was at the table with Jesus and the other disciples. Judas did not have saving faith. He was not grateful for that salvation the Passover was a sign of. If he had been grateful for that salvation remembered in the Passover meal, signified in the Passover meal, he would have had the law of God in his heart, in his mind, on his mouth. And he would not have betrayed Jesus. And Judas also at this point had no love for Christ. For Christ was not living up to his expectations. Judas ate of both signs. But he was not a believer. And Judas was therefore not saved. Eating of the sign will not save any of us either. You have to eat with humble, repentant faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. The sign of the Lord's Supper is an excellent, precious gift when partaken of with understanding and a believing heart. It is a sign of a covenant of grace. Thanks be to God for the sign. May we all enjoy it rightly. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty, we thank you for how you have given us signs throughout all the history of the covenant of grace. And we thank you for how meaningful the sign of the Lord's Supper is. What an amazing delight it is to gather together around a table with other believers and remember that you lived and died for us, and to realize from the sign that we are united to you. You are part of us. We are part of you. Father, we thank you that we can remember that on a regular occasion. And we pray, Father, that you would help us to do so always rightly. Help us to enjoy this sign, this sacrament, and always come to your table examining our hearts. May we come humbly with repentance, trusting in all that Jesus has done. And Father, we're so thankful that we can do so, looking forward to that day when we will see Jesus face to face. And then we will partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a great day that will be. What a great moment that will be. We look forward to it with eager expectation. Thank you. We praise you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.